40, verses 28 through 31. I realize that the title of this sermon may not seem real uplifting, a smelly old rat, but I ask you just to give me your patience and your time today. I hope that it will be an uplifting day for all of us. Amen. Let's read the Word of God together. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a great word today. Look at this next image with me on PowerPoint. It's a family you may remember seeing on television. It's the Cleaver family, the Leave It to Beaver. The Leave It to Beaver TV series was a classic in the late 1950s and early 60s. The stories usually focused on parenting and relationships within the family, the school, and in their neighborhood, in their community. In one episode, Beaver's friend, a fellow named Larry Mondella, you'll see his picture on this next PowerPoint here. Larry Mondella is right there to the side there of Beaver, and they're looking at one another. Beaver's got his hand out. Larry Mondella borrowed 75 cents from Beaver. It seems that Beaver needed 25 cents to buy a new notebook at school. His dad didn't have change, and so he gave Beaver a dollar. He said, son, be sure and bring the change back. But Beaver's friend Larry was in a bind, and he needed that 75 cents, so Beaver loaned it to him. And then later, Larry promised he would come over Saturday afternoon and repay Beaver and get the money from his mother. Well, Beaver's dad told him, said, now, son, your weekly allowance is 75 cents. Since you've loaned this money out without giving my permission, and you don't have it back, you will have no allowance until your friend Larry pays you back the money that he owes you. So Beaver wasn't going to have any money to be able to go to the movies that Saturday or do anything he normally liked to do. Well, his buddy Larry, you see there, he finally got the money from his mother, and he called Beaver and he said, I'm coming over right now. I'm on my way with the 75 cents, and then you and I can go to the movies together. Beaver said, that's great. Well, Beaver waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited all afternoon. His brother would say, well, Beaver, where's Larry with the money? And he's not coming. You know he's not coming. And Beaver would say, he'd defend his friend. He'd say, well, you know, he might have fell on a manhole and they hadn't got him out yet. Or it could be he got in trouble and his mother's make him stay in his room and he can't use the phone. But I know he'll come. He'll be here. Well, after waiting all afternoon, Larry didn't show up. Beaver's dad sent him to the drugstore to buy a newspaper. Well, Beaver had such confidence that Larry was going to do the right thing. And he walks into the drugstore to get the newspaper for his dad. And there's Larry with his buddies. You see, Larry had not been able to give in to the temptation to use the 75 cents himself to go with some other boys to the movie. He'd gone to the movies and then he'd gone to the drugstore, still spending the money, to get him a chocolate soda with his buddies. And Beaver walks into the drugstore, and he sees Larry sitting there sipping on the chocolate soda that he'd used with the money that he's supposed to give to Beaver. Poor Beaver. There's his friend sitting there, betrayed him. And he walks up to Larry Mondella, and he says the most mean thing he could think of. He says, Larry Mondella, you're a smelly old rat. Beaver is hurt. He's discouraged. And he wants to sock Larry, as he put it. He wants to give him a sock, you know, and not the kind you put on your foot. It's natural to experience discouragement when things go wrong. It's natural to feel down and despondent when trouble comes into our life. When someone that we're close to gets a notice of a serious illness or a disease, our family members in a terrible crisis or a car accident. Someone you love betrays you, lets you down, and you're hurt. The emotions, that emotion of discouragement can be a breeding ground for bitterness and resentment. If we begin to blame God, and some folks do, they begin to blame God for what happens, and when that happens, our devotion to our Heavenly Father begins to suffer. We begin to forsake spending time alone with Him. Or we forget about all of the promises He's given to us. And eventually, we could just give up on God altogether because we've just got into this pity party and this issue of discouragement that's got us down. Discouragement, just like a smelly old rat, has the potential to poison our entire lives. And unless you and I respond to discouragement wisely, unless we respond to discouragement through the eyes of faith, then we find ourselves being overwhelmed, because that discouragement often leads to a sense of hopelessness, and it leads to a sense of cynicism and bitterness and even depression. As a believer, we ask this question: what do we do? How can we overcome those issues, those moments, those seasons when it seems like our life is just dominated by a series of just smelly old rats in our lives? There's three steps I want to share with you today to help us. And the first one is this: number one, remember what God has done. Remember what He has done. Look at this next PowerPoint with me. On this next PowerPoint, we've got to light the lamps of the past. I love that expression. When I say light the lamps of the past, we've got to look back and we've got to remember those wonderful times that God came through for us. That scripture in Psalm 126 and verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. Let me ask you today, has God done great things for you?
Yes.
Absolutely. We remember His forgiveness and His cleansing and His mercy and His grace for our salvation. We look back and we remember those times that we got on our knees and hot tears were streaming down our cheeks and we're interceding and we're praying. And God answered that prayer and He came through. He came through for you and those that you were praying for. We light the lamps of the past and we look back and remember that in times of sickness, perhaps in our own bodies or someone that we love that we're praying for, that God came through, that by His power, healing and strength came from Him because of our prayers, because of His love for us. The Bible tells us in James, in the first chapter, in verse 17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What a great promise that tells us. Every good thing in our life comes from our Heavenly Father. Oh, we look back and just remember, as we look back, all the good things God has done for us. One day, Napoleon was riding in front of his soldiers. He was on his great, powerful stallion, very powerful horse. Napoleon lost control of this horse, and a private rushed out of the ranks and grabbed the horse's bridle, and he saved Napoleon's life. Well, Napoleon saluted him, and he said, "Thank you, Captain." And the young man says, "But, sir, I'm not a captain." And Napoleon looked at him, he says, "Yes, you're a captain. I now commission you as a captain." Well, the young man, rather than going back to his ranks among the enlisted men, he took his place at that moment among the other officers. And they all looked at him and they said, "What are you doing here? You're not an officer." And he said, "No, I'm a captain." And they asked him, they said, "By whose authority do you think you're a captain?" And he pointed to Napoleon and he said, "I'm a captain because he said it." And at that point, everybody understood he was a captain. Look at this next PowerPoint with me. When Jesus forgave you of your sins, he made a declaration to you. He said, you're now a child of the King. You are now joint heirs with me, Jesus. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. And he said, you're the blood-bought, you're the redeemed, you're the bride, you're the church, you're mine. He made that declaration to all of us. And somebody asked us, we tell them we're a child of the King. Somebody says, where do you get that? Where have you heard that? By whose authority do you claim that? You just point to heaven and you say, he has said it. God has said it himself. I'm a child of the King. I was a lost mess. I was a sinner going to hell. I was nothing. But Jesus, by his blood, came and redeemed me and saved me and forgave me. And I'm part of his family right now. I'm part of the family of God because God has said it. He said it about you today. Don't ever forget it. May the Holy Spirit remind you this morning, whatever you're facing, you are not defeated. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and he's with you today. The second thing we've got to remember, the second point is we must recognize what God is doing. We talked about looking back and remembering what he's done. We've got to realize what he is doing right now, today, in our lives. Look at this next PowerPoint with me on Psalm 66 and verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He's alive right now. Let me just remind everybody, God is still on his throne in heaven. He's alive right now. He is working in the lives of those who will reach up in faith and let him. But the problem is, we talk about discouragement. Discouragement can cause us to lose sight of the eternal principle that God is ever active and ready to draw near us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to help us. We get our eyes off of that hope and that promise in the midst of whatever the trouble may be. And that this verse in Philippians 4 and 4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what is happening in your life is what it's saying. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Another scripture in 2 Chronicles, we don't have this on PowerPoint, but 2 Chronicles 15 and 2, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Right now, today, God is with you. Seek him with all your heart. His power and his presence is always ready and there to work in our lives. When we realize I can call on him, he's with me right now. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him for all the things he's doing right now, receiving those events in your life today, this very moment. And then the third point we make today is that we should rejoice about what God will do. We've talked about what he's done and what he is doing. We can rejoice about what he will do. That scripture on Joel 2 and 21, rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Oh, I praise God. We can face tomorrow with that promise. We can face our tomorrows with an attitude of faith. God has promised not only to be with us today, but to give us strength for all of our tomorrows, whatever may come into our lives. We can overcome discouragement. We can overcome it by remembering what God has promised he will do. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of promises in the Word of God about what he will do for us. But I've got just a few I'm sharing with you. Look at this next PowerPoint with me. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters. Now that expression, pass through the waters, that means when you're going through trouble. When you got issues in your life. Now it doesn't say if, does it? It says when. It's going to happen. We understand that. There's going to be issues in our life. When you pass through the waters, what's he saying? I will be with you. You are not alone. Hear the Lord. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. You are not alone. He is with you right now. He's with you. Psalm 91 and 15. I will be with him in trouble. I will not only be with you, he said, I'll deliver you. I'll be with you. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to deliver you. That's your promise today. And in Isaiah 40 and 29, he gives power. We read this earlier, didn't we? He gives power to the weak and to those with no might. He increases strength. And now look at this next PowerPoint, another scripture, Isaiah 41 and verse 9. He's reminding us that we belong to him. I love that. Listen to what he's saying. You are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not cast you away. Fear not. He's saying, don't be discouraged. Fear not, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Just receive that right now. Receive that word of God right now in your heart and your spirit. Praise God, what a powerful word it is. Then in verse 13, he goes on to tell us, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Oh, praise God. Let the Holy Spirit just, let that just soak into your spirit for a moment this morning. Let that promise and the power of the Word of God lift your heart today. There was a young Christian man by the name of Jim. Jim would go to his church every day. Every day he would sit quietly all alone in the church. He'd only stay there for about 5 minutes. But every day he would sit quietly in the church. And he would say, Jesus, this is Jim. I need your help today. Very simple, isn't it? Jesus, this is Jim. I need your help today. And he told his pastor had asked him, why do you come in here every day? What's going on? He says, Pastor, I just say, Jesus, this is Jim. I need your help today. And he went on to tell his pastor, and Jesus always pours his strength into me. He is always there for me. Always. One day the pastor was called to the hospital, and Jim was dying. When the pastor first went into Jim's room, Jim asked that he might be alone with his pastor a few minutes. And so the friends and family members were there. They left the room. Jim looked up at his pastor and he said, Pastor, when they first brought me into the hospital, they thought I was unconscious, that I couldn't hear what they were saying. But I heard them and they were saying that I was going to die. They left me alone for a few minutes. I was in the room by myself, he told his pastor. And suddenly, I heard the door open. And I looked, and there was no one there. And just a moment later, I felt a hand on my shoulder. And then I heard a voice saying in my spirit, Jim, this is Jesus. Don't be afraid. I've come to take you home. I will go through the dark valley with you. Then Jim told his pastor, he said, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid at all. I am ready to go home with Jesus. David experienced discouragement in his life. You remember his story? Samuel had anointed him king of Israel, but yet for years, the former shepherd, David, had to live in the wilderness running from Saul, who wanted to kill him. And through all those difficult times, he penned many words. And he always looked to the Lord for encouragement and help. And he penned the famous words that we know today as the 23rd Psalm. You'll see them on this next PowerPoint. David's words give us insight of how he coped with life and how he coped with all the things facing him and the setbacks. We know this psalm. Let us say it all out loud together, and it'll strengthen us today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Oh, praise God. What a strong word that is for us today. Please hear me today. It is not God's will for you to be discouraged. It is not God's will for you to feel down or to have the blues or be despondent. Whether or not your situation changes, it doesn't matter. You can experience the comfort and the peace and the contentment that God can give through His Holy Spirit in your life right now, today, this very morning. Circumstances do not have to dictate your emotions. Circumstances do not have to define who you are. You have someone on your side. He's always available to help you, to strengthen you, to uphold you. If we just remember these three things we talked about today, just pause, light the lamps of the past, and look back and remember all those times that He's been there for you. Look at your today and realize that all the blessings of God that's in your life this very moment. And embrace the promises of God to be with you every step of the way for every day that you face in the future. Look at this next PowerPoint with me of a fellow that some of you might have heard of. His name is Hadley Page. He was a famous British aviator. Hadley Page tells of a flight he was making once in one of his older planes many years ago. He was flying over Arabia. A large rat had got into his plane. I know you thought we were through talking about rats, but there's one last one. A large rat had got into his plane without his knowledge. And when he got up in the air, he heard that rat gnawing on a vital part of the plane. He knew that those sharp teeth of that rat could damage the plane, and the controls of the plane could result in the plane crashing. But suddenly, he remembered that a rat cannot live in a high altitude. So he started his plane straight up toward heaven. And after a time of going up and up further and further, the gnawing noise ceased. It was gone. And when he finally landed that plane, he found that rat. It was dead, because the rat could not live in that high atmosphere. Sometimes there's a smelly old rat in our life called discouragement, and it's continually gnawing at us, wanting to bring us down, wanting to weaken our faith, tempting you and me just to give up. He's wanting to crash our lives spiritually and emotionally if He can. But what we've got to remember, we need to get up a little bit higher. We need to get a little bit closer to God, because discouragement cannot live in His presence. As we draw closer to Him, we must remember the word He's given to us. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. He's saying that to us today. Receive what God is saying. Let that flow into your heart. We need to remember Jim's story too today. Just like Jim, sometimes there's moments in our life we've got to just stop, get all the noise away from us, sit quietly in our room, wherever we may be, get alone, and just say, Jesus, this is, and you say your name, Jesus, this is Jim. I need your help today. I'm going to tell you, that simple declaration to God, to our Savior, as you reach up in faith to Him and just say, I need your help today. At that point, the flow of heaven begins to flow into your soul and into your spirit, and God begins to minister to you immediately when you cry out to Him. And finally, with this last PowerPoint again, let's never forget what God's told us, who we are. Well, let's not forget today that we are a child of the King. You're joint heirs with Jesus. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. You're the blood bought. You're the redeemed. You're the bride of Christ. You belong to Him. Remember who said it. He said it. And it's true because He said it for all of us today. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus.